Thank you for being here tonight. There's a lot of people sick. Pastor is sick. Malachi is sick. And another a number of other people sick. So thank you for being here, for braving the Queensland winter of 2024. I know that it has been harsh. So thank you for being here. I had prepared to continue with James tonight, but as I reflected on that, spent some time praying about that, God impressed on me that that was not the message for tonight. So go ahead tonight and turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And let's pray and then let's get into our time for tonight. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight. Father, we need you. Father, we need you to continue to draw us close to yourself, to continue to mold us and to shape us into people that can better glorify you. Father, better live for you. So, Father, tonight as we gather around your word, Father, I pray that you would impress on our hearts, on our minds, what it is that we need to focus on in our own lives so that we can better glorify you. Father, we love you. Father, we're grateful for the work that you are doing in us and in this church. In your name, amen. We're going to keep this pretty short, pretty simple tonight. There was a saying in Afghanistan, and I believe it came originally from a Chinese proverb, and it goes like this: dig your well before you are thirsty. Dig your well before you are thirsty. Now, that's a pretty simple concept, right? It's not complicated. Many Chinese proverbs are all twisted, and you look at them and you go, I'm not really sure what is going on here. But when we hear this, dig your well before you are thirsty, we connect with that. We understand that. Invest now so that you are prepared for the future. Or perhaps we could say it this way: only a fool waits until the day of disaster to prepare. Simple thought. There are a lot of things in life where advanced preparation is needed. Retirement. We see commercials on TV. The internet is bombarding us with advice on retirement. Make sure you're putting money away. Make sure you're preparing your children to look after you once you retire. Now, there's all of these things that we need to start thinking about for retirement. Perhaps you're a young person and you're thinking forward to university. Well, you need to start preparing now for university. You can't end up at the end of 12th grade and just hope that somehow some university is going to go, hey, you look good, go ahead and come on in. No, we need to start preparing mentally. We need to be studying. We need to be doing things so that when we get to that time period, university is an option for us. As Australians, we prepare for bushfire season. As North Queenslanders, and that's not so much here now, but as Queenslanders and North Queenslanders, we prepare for cyclone season. I remember as a child coming back from Papua New Guinea on furloughs, and we would go to my grandparents' property, and they had a large property in Campbelltown, New South Wales, and they had, originally they had orchards, and they had all of these trees and these plants that they grew there, but eventually they sold off that and they just had a large bush block. And every year as summer approached, they would call in the bushfire brigade to do a burn-off. They would burn off all of the rubbish, the deadfall that's on the ground in preparation for what was coming, in preparation for bushfire season. Preparation. We come back to this saying, dig your well before you are thirsty. In a dry area, such as Afghanistan, that saying means so much. For us as believers, that saying means a lot too. But to be honest with you, while we connect mentally with that thinking, and while we understand what that's saying, largely we don't put it into practice. We live in a time period, we live in a world that has pretty much got everything that it needs at its fingertips. If you need something, some guy will show up at your front door on a bicycle and he'll give it to you. If you don't understand something, you can go to Google, and the same guy that delivered stuff on a bicycle has already gotten through years in his life, and now he's written web pages, and that same guy who delivered stuff on a bicycle can now deliver stuff to you in a web page to give you the knowledge that you need. In fact, we've gone so far that if you can't think a clear thought, You can go to an AI program and say, write me a paper on. Write me a love note to my wife. In fact, send that to her. You don't have to do anything. It's all at your fingertips. In fact, write me a love note, a sensitive, beautiful love note to my wife, and then get the guy on the bicycle to deliver some roses and some chocolate to her. And I never left my desk. Who knew that bicycles would be so important? My point is this: largely we become a complacent society. We're not used to being prepared. Pastor talked this morning a little bit about this. There's a necessity for us as believers to be prepared. We can't be complacent in our spiritual lives. Much of the scripture talks about being prepared, being diligent to add to your faith. We talked about this in our life group class this morning. We can't be stagnant as believers. You're either growing in your walk with God, or you're increasing on your dependence, your self-elevation. There's no middle ground. We're walking with God and we're increasing in that, or we're not. And we're self-elevating, and we're increasing the flesh. Listen to what Peter says, and this is going to be the text for tonight, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. First Peter 1:13, he says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope towards the end, for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Gird up, be sober, hope to the end. What's Peter saying to these believers? He's saying, be prepared. The main reason for writing of 1 Peter was to encourage believers who were facing persecution. But the same thing can be said for us. Be prepared. Throughout Scripture, we see this encouragement. 1 Peter, again, chapter 3, verse 15, "But sanctify the Lord in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh the reason of your hope." Be ready. Be prepared. Jesus warned his disciples to be prepared. If we have a look at John chapter 16, verse 33, he says, "These things I've spoken unto you, that you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, you shall have hardship, you shall have anguish, you shall have pressure, you shall have distress. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world." Be prepared. Paul warned his followers as well in Acts 14, verses 21 and 22. "And when they had preached the gospel in that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Be prepared. That's what Scripture tells us to do, to be prepared. So how do we as believers dig wells before we're thirsty? Come back to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. The first thing that we as believers need to be doing is we need to be girding up. I'm sure many of you already understand what this means. You understand this concept. This is a metaphor derived from the practice of gathering up one's long robes. Now, we don't wear long robes, or most of us don't. But this practice of gathering up long robes so that one can effectively engage in work or activity, or in the case of a soldier, into warfare. So they're not getting in the way. And without being graphic, so that they're not exposing sensitive parts of the body. Gird up the loins of your mind. The illustration in this case is twofold. One, practice or protect the sensitive parts of your mind. And two, be prepared to engage in work or activity. Know where we are weak. Know where you are prone to attack. All of us have areas of struggle. And all of us have areas that Satan knows are weak points for us. Areas where he can attack and have the greatest impact. This verse tells us to protect those areas. If I'm going to protect those areas, I need to know where those areas are. I need to be honest with myself about them. I need to put things in place to protect my heart and my mind against those attacks. In the military, when you are preparing a defensive position, you place your heaviest defensive weapons in your most vulnerable area. But you can't do that if you don't know where those areas are. If the commander hasn't gotten out and had a look at his defensive position and measured up and looked around and gone, hey, this is where we're vulnerable, if he doesn't know that, how can he defend against that? And for us as believers, if we're not examining our own lives and understanding where we are weak. This is an area that I'm weak in. This is an area that I know that I need to work on. This is an area that I need to defend. I need to put things in place. I need to have people around me that will hold me accountable. If we don't understand that, if we're not willing to accept that, then we open ourselves up for attack. Going back to that example of going to my grandparents' house, and it didn't make sense to me. When I'd talk to my grandfather, and I was only a little kid, my grandfather would talk about bushfires and the danger of bushfires, and then I'm watching as people are coming along and they're lighting fires. It didn't make any sense to me. Coming from Papua New Guinea, that was like, what on earth? But if my grandfather hadn't got in, and they hadn't cleared fire trails, and they hadn't brought people along to do controlled burning and get rid of that rubbish, get rid of all of that leaf litter and all of that deadfall that was on the ground, the next time a bushfire came along, it would ravage the land, wouldn't it? If we're not willing to get into our own lives, into the dark corners, into the secret places, and get rid of the deadfall, when the attack comes, there's so much stuff there that can burn. We need to understand where we're weak. We need to gird up the loins of our mind. And not only do we protect those sensitive places, but we need to be prepared to act. I guard my mind. I feed my mind on things that are wholesome and that are scriptural and biblical, so that then I can take that same mind that is being used by God and I can speak truth. But I got to know where I'm weak first. In Proverbs 4, verses 23 to 27, we all know these verses, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight forward before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Peter says, gird up the loins of your mind. Put protective measures in place to make sure that when the attacks come, I haven't left anything unattended to. There's no weaknesses in my perimeter. The second part of this, I can't just sit there defending. I need to also get out and get the work done without leaving those parts exposed. We do that practically by knowing where we are weak, but also by spending time in God's Word and growing in our faith and by growing closer to God in prayer. Here's the second thing I want you to notice tonight as we look at this passage. He says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. And then he says, be sober. Be sober. Literally, remain calm and have a strong head. Remain calm and have a strong head. We know from 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, that we have an adversary, we have an enemy that is active in looking for opportunities to attack. We have an enemy that is described by Scripture as being a lion that's on the prowl looking for something, for someone that he can devour. But we also know from that same verse that there is a method that God has put things in place to help us protect against that enemy. 1 Peter 5, verse 8, he says, be sober, be vigilant. Be sober and be vigilant. Grab hold of this truth and it will help you remain steadfast. Satan, your enemy, the prowling lion, cannot overcome you. He cannot defeat you. Yes, he will attack. And yes, there will be occasions where we surrender small victories to him. But Satan cannot win. Be sober. Be vigilant. Pay attention. Be prepared. Understand that there will be attacks. But don't be overwhelmed. Realize that the victory already belongs to the Lord. God has already told us in Scripture that He will never leave us and never forsake us. The victory is secure. The picture that we see here from Peter that he's trying to get across to these believers who are being persecuted, who are struggling, is one of not getting overwhelmed. Don't become so passionate, so focused on the attacks that you lose perspective of what God is doing in your life. Pay attention to what is coming so when it comes, you are not overwhelmed. Keep your head. Don't panic. As a soldier being prepared, you know that there are going to be battles. You understand that you have weaknesses. You understand that you're going to sustain some injuries. There's going to be some hurt. There's going to be some hardships. There's going to be some hard times. But keep your head. remain level-headed, remain calm, be sober. Often as believers, we can be a bit like the athlete who is consumed with the event. He's so consumed that when he has small setbacks, small failures, he loses his head. We become so disappointed, so consumed, so frustrated with the mistake that we become overwhelmed. We open the door to more mistakes and bigger failures. Adjust your focus. The victory in Christ is secure. Peter's charge to these believers, be sober. Have a strong mind. Stay calm in the face of adversity. Now come back to the verse. I told you we're going to be pretty short tonight. We'll look at point three now. 1 Peter 1:13, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The third aspect of our preparation that we see here tonight. Hope to the end. We started this evening by talking about being prepared, and we don't often think about hope as part of our preparation. The world thinks of hope as something that you do when you've got nothing left. The world thinks of hope as something that you cling to when you're just not sure what to do next. That's because the world is placing its hope in something that's not sure, in something that's not confirmed. But when your hope is placed in something that is sure, when your hope is placed in something that is unfailing, that is immovable, that is in the one that is eternal, that is all-knowing, that is all-powerful, hope is absolutely part of preparation. The world questions your hope, but Scripture confirms your hope. Listen to what Scripture says. We have hope because in 1 John, He is the hope. Our God is love. In Psalms, it says, He is the Holy One. In John, it says, He is I am. In Revelation, He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And in Exodus, our mighty God. In Galatians, it says, He is a miracle-working God. In John, it says, He is the creator of the world. 1 Kings, He is infinite. Jeremiah, He is all-powerful. 1 John, He is all-knowing. In Psalm, He is ever-present. He is unchangeable. He is Jehovah. Our God is a covenant-making God. He is the everlasting Father. He is the Father of lights. He is the Father of mercies and a God of all comfort. He is the author of my salvation, and He is full of power. He is a God who raises the dead. He is a quickening spirit. Our God is mighty to save. He is our maker. He is our heavenly Father. He is the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. He meets our needs through Jesus. He gives us the peace that surpasses understanding. He is the door to the sheep. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the bread of life. He is the bright and morning star. He is the light of the world. He is Emmanuel. He is the wonderful counselor. He is the great shepherd of the sheep. He is the head of the church. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is our all sufficiency. He is the Word, and He dwells in us. He is easily touched by our infirmities. He is faithful and true. He is a sure foundation and upholds all things by the word of His power. He is watching over His world, and He will perform it. He is the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. He is no respecter of persons. He is the true light. He is the author and finisher of our faith, and He is the mediator of the new covenant. He is truth, and He is working on us. Greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. He is our wisdom, our sanctification, and our redemption. He is for us, and he will never leave us or forsake us. He is faithful over his house. He is the ruler of the kings of this earth. He is our Lord and our God. He is our life. He is our salvation. He is our Redeemer. He is our teacher, our healer, our deliverer, our resurrection, our justification, our strength, our righteousness, our peace, our advocate, our hope of glory. He is pleased to give us his kingdom. He is equipping us. He is giving us his great name. And he is giving us, or he's given us, the Holy Spirit. He is filling us with wisdom and spiritual understanding. He gives us his armor. He is faithful to complete his work that he began in us. He is rich in mercy, and he will give us all things to enjoy. He will receive all glory. He is worthy of all praise. And he is saying to everyone, surely I am coming quickly. He is our hope. Remember what we saw in John 16, verse 33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. 1 Peter 1:13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Be prepared. Be prepared. Let's close in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Father, there is so much in your word for us. And yet, Father, so often I depend on my own understanding. Father, so often I depend on my own ability to work through things, to change circumstances. And yet, Father, you should be my hope. You should be my everything. So, Father, tonight we come before you. And, Father, I am a sinner who does not deserve a relationship with you. And yet, Father, you continue to love me and to draw me close to yourself. Father, to mold me and to shape me into the man that can better glorify you. Father, we need you. Father, we love you tonight. We are grateful that you love us. In your name, amen.